I have a bunch now. Thank you very much. We will begin with a word of prayer, and then we will sing some of these in the theater. Let's close our eyes and bow our head. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day in life and health and strength. I pray your good hand upon us as we take this time aside from the world to just to worship and to praise you, to rest our bodies, to revitalize our souls. I pray you, Father, that you be one of our number, that you would work in each one of our hearts, and when you knock on those doors, you'll find them open and invitational. I think that that's the right word. I pray you too, Father, for every other church in the world that loves you and preaches the full counsel of your word. I pray you for your good hand upon them too. For Marcus, Lord, and Marco, and that fellow that we met yesterday when we were out tracking, as they gather together to meet and to worship and to praise, you pray for them too. For Stan and the folks in Bangor, for Ed and June Bessett, Lord, the folks up in Temple Pepper. Lord, for Glenn Wilkinson, Donny Campbell, the Pastor Aswith, for Pastor Hayne, for Pastor Seeley, for all those that have been and gone, Father, I pray, Lord, your good hand upon them, that you would bless them as they honor you and discharge their duties, Father. We just love you and thank you and pray for more souls to be saved, for Pat and Steve especially at this time. And Lord, you know we have a multitude of private prayer requests. I just pray, Father, your good hand upon each one of us, and that you would grant our prayer requests according to your will. Love you and thank you. I ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. I'm going to begin with 236. 236. This is Lane's selection for this morning. Do not one. 236 is a good old favorite of mine.
No!
in that theme, scoot forward to 356 and we'll sing I Must Tell Jesus next. 356. If your fifth will stand as we do. 356, I Must Tell Jesus. Recipe for peace. 356.
Chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly gifts in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know that what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his right hand, at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen.
That one come from the USA.
Come from board.
Upstairs and up in Galvin.
Second floor.
Yeah, it's good that Steve is keen to contribute. Please do pray for Pat and Steve. Steve is getting better just a little bit at a time. He is still getting dialysis 3 times a week. I mean, Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. I didn't get the same this week because my scheduled visits, his dialysis got scheduled over my scheduled visits. So please do pray for Pat and Steve. Amen. Just want to make sure everybody got one of the little green prayer lists. I think this is in hope that little green shoots will start appearing on trees and gardens and things like that. But the farmers are definitely hoping that, because they're in the fields next to the house and they're starting to spread the manure, so they're obviously hoping for an early growing season, but you wouldn't think it given the temperature this morning. But please do remember to have a look at that prayer list, and even at the very, very least, just to call the names out once in the week. I know there are a few of us, but Even to have your name called out in prayer 6-7 times in a week, on average that's once every day. I know God loves us, but we're commanded to pray for each other, so please do pray. Please be with also Winston and Nicolette. Please do pray too for Mary Ann and Christine this morning. Please do pray for Monica's mom. She is just not keeping 100% right now. Do pray for Norman, who has legal and some health issues at the moment. Please do pray for that. Please pray for Frank, who has an up-and-coming surgery. Please do pray for me. I have a dentist appointment, which I'm not relishing at the moment. Even though my dentist is the nicest guy in the world, and occasionally brings in sweets and buns into the surgery, I think he's probably drumming up more work for himself. But please do pray for... He needs to get saved too. Paddy and Claire, please do pray for them. Amen. There's a lot to pray about, a lot going on in the world. We definitely do need to be much in prayer. The Bible says we will not affect change by slapping people in the face or punching them in the mouth, even though we are sorely tempted to do so. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through prayer to pull down our strongholds, and that's what we need to remember. So, is there anything else we need to add to that? Okay. Grand job. I hope you were paying attention. Well, you'll be able to lead us in a word of prayer. Go for it, brother, if you will. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us to church today, Lord. Thank you for the generous mercies, Lord. Thank you for everybody that's attending the church. Bless each name we have coming to our church representative. Bless us and keep us, Lord. And give us the strength to worship thee and remember our worship and our praise and our prayers and all everything that goes together in the service may be accepted in your sight, Lord, and well pleasing in your sight as well, Lord. With absent brow, Lord, with Frank, and keep him safe and well, Lord, help him in surgery, Lord, we go to the plan, Lord, and leave it anything in or any comfort, Lord, and keep him safe as well, Lord. And Lord, save Stephen Collins, John, especially Stephen as well, bring him to church, and save his soul, love his men, Lord, keep him well as well, Lord. Also, with Taylor and Christy, wherever they are, keep them safe and well, Lord. Have a closer walk for you as well, Lord. With Pat and Steve, with Pat and his dialysis, and Lord, his heart for Christ, Lord. Take him out of pain, discomfort, give him rest, give him strength, and strengthen him, and fatten him up, Lord, and keep him well, Lord. And keep him safe and secure with you as well, and in tune with you as well, Lord. Give Pat some rest by as well, Lord, and rest, and keep him safe and well as well, Lord. And much strong as well, Lord. With Norman as well, with his leg, and his court cases, Lord, may go to plan, the court cases may be done rightly, and everything that is right, true and right, Lord, and justice may be served, Lord, as well. But normally, his leg and his foot, Lord, help him, heal him, Lord, to go into pain, may find out what's wrong with it, Lord, and reinforce him and give strength, Lord, for the family as well, Lord, both physically and spiritually as well, Lord. Pray for Pat Hayden, Lord, pray for and keep her as well, Lord. You might help her in the health condition, Lord, plus for many. And pain and discomfort, Lord, and strengthen up as well, Lord, and draw closer work to you. Also, with John Bradfield, Lord, help him as well, Lord, and keep him safe and well, Lord, and help him in his health as well, Lord. Give us a stay, Lord, may we do everything except in this night, Lord, and may we give unction from the Holy Spirit to Mark, Lord, to come to the light of the gospel, Lord, and light up in the hearts, Lord, and give us lessons, Lord, and bless our service with you. Rely on it for your glory, please pray, say amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Let's take our hymn books again and let's make another joyful noise as soon as I find these. 353. From Every Stormy Wind. Is that you, Mrs. Bradley? 353 will remain seated as we sing From Every Stormy Wind. Amen. Go back to 244. Have to go back a whole nearly 100 hymns. And we will sing Amazing Grace. If you'd like to stand, by all means join me. If you want to remain seated, do that too. The important thing is not the exercising of your legs, but your lips as we sing Amazing Grace. 244 verses. For the slight reduction in ambient temperature compared to what it should be, but everybody knows well enough to have jackets and fleeces and coats and scarves on, and I trust maybe a thermal layer or two as well. It'll be warmer this evening, honest God. And I think the weather's supposed to pick up, even though by all accounts we're due for another freeze before too long. So and make sure you've got wood, oil, food and warm clothing in. Anyway, on to the reason why we're really here. 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. We're going to read until verse number 13. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. And by this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. These things have I written unto you, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that we may believe in the name of the Son of God. That is our text, our title for this morning. It's just for us. And, amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right in. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this lovely wee taste of sunshine we're having this morning. I just wish it was a wee bit warmer in here, but it'll stop any of us from drifting off. And it'll keep them sharp, Lord. I just pray your good hand upon us as we take this time around your word. You would open our understanding, that you would soften our hearts, Lord, and open our ears to the hearing of your word and to your call. Bless our time now, Lord. Be one of our number, I pray, and don't be done with us. Please be out there convicting people of sin and judgment to come and saving souls. We love you and thank you. We pray all this, Lord, most important for your will to be done. In the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is a great little portion of God's Word for me personally, for two different reasons. Ones that immediately stick out are the verses that I have had to use most over the years. And these verses are verses 7, 8, and 13. Verses 7 and 8 are like, how do you know if you're driving down the road, how do you know you've seen a BMW? Does anybody know how you've seen a BMW? Two things. There's normally the nostrils at the front of the car, the two things that look like a nostril in the radiator grill. And there's also that wee blue and white, like a wee blue white circle with blue pieces of pie in it. And you know that's a BMW. They just have that look about them. Even on the sportiest of them, they have the two nostrils and they have the wee BMW sign. How do you know that you're looking at the King James Bible? You go to verses 7 and 8 in 1 John chapter 5, and you look at these two verses, and you make sure that it says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. That's the Trinity. That is the plainest, simplest speaking on the Trinity in the whole Bible. And it also mentions there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. And all of the Bibles produced by people that hate God and try and make them difficult to understand, those two verses are compressed into one, and part of them, they don't like the bit about the Trinity, and sometimes they have a little bit of decency or shame, and they include it as a footnote at the bottom of the page, but this is the gospel. Those two verses are not in the Bible. The odds are you're not reading a real Bible. You're reading a book that used to maybe be the Bible, but that has a lot of pagan teaching in it. Because I am telling you, there is only one faith that believes in the Trinity the way it's preached in the Bible, and that is Bible-believing Christians. And there's only one book that preaches it, and that's the King James Bible. The New King James Bible, I think, has it in, but that's a whole different kettle of fish. We don't like that either. Verse number 13 is God's promise to you. I know a lot, I got saved before I knew about the assurance of salvation. This verse tells me what the Bible, one of the reasons the Bible was written, so that we can know that we have eternal life. So you can know, the Bible was written so you can know that you have eternal life. And those verses have stood by me many, many times, because many, many people have said, you can't know that you're going to heaven. I think that's sin of presumption in the Catholic faith. If you said it in the Protestant church, it might, people might think you're being very presumptuous even to say, I know I'm going to heaven. But the Bible actually says you can. Not because of yourself, but because Jesus saved you and you trust him. Anyway, let's have a few, I just want to have a brief look at the rest of these verses that we haven't looked at. And pass a few comments on them. But those three verses are well worth remembering. Especially if you ever happen to find yourself in a Bible bookstore and you don't believe me, pull out the NIV and have a look at it, and you will see they have butchered up those verses. As John, now bear in mind, John is significantly older than he was back when Jesus walked upon the earth. He's getting on in years, and as you go on to the book of Revelation, he's come to his twilight years. And John says this. He begins this portion of God's word. You can't believe that Jesus is the actual Christ without being born again. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You can't believe that. You can say it, but you can't believe it. And it won't make a difference to you unless you're born again. And the reason I know this is because, having spent many years in the company of lost people, I know a lot of people know one of the names of Jesus is Jesus Christ, because I heard it mentioned an awful lot, not in a good way. But you can't trust in God and believe in God unless you're born again. And people say, well, my church says I'm born again. Okay then. If you are born again, that means you're a child of the King of Kings. You might be a good child, you might be a bad child, but you're a child of the King of Kings. For real. For real. How do you know you're a child of God? The Bible says whenever you want to do what God says. When we keep his commandments, it says that in your Bible, doesn't it? In verse number 2. And see, the thing about God's commandments for the Christian, let's hear what Jesus had to say. I think it's in Matthew 11, the last few verses. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Everybody knows that verse, don't we? We all know that verse. He says, take my yoke upon me. Oh dear, that sounds like God wants us to do something. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. So you mean to tell me by obeying God, we will find rest to our souls. And Jesus says, that's right. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, as a saved soul, you have just been prepared to follow God's command. I know there's a lot of failure in the Christian life. We pretty much fail God every day, by accident or by design. But I want for you to know that there was at least once in your life, at least once in your life, when you kicked the living daylights out of the devil, when you beat the living daylights out of popular opinion, and when you subjugated whatever it was that you feel is important, to say to God, God, I am sorry for my sins. Would you please save me? That's what the Bible says. Whoever is born of God has overcome the world. Overcome the world, overcome the devil, because he does not like to see people saved, and even overcome their own their feelings in their, because the feelings will be gone. But if I get saved, you'll not let me drink or smoke or curse or swear or sleep around the country or do drugs or worship the devil at midnight. You'll not let me do that anymore. That's what our old feelings say. All the things that we love to do, you won't let me do anymore. It says, yes, indeed, because all the things that, in quotes, I love to do are killing me. Only one person that can do it for you. I'm reading these verses and I'm giving you the English version, and it says that's Jesus. That is Jesus Christ. Words of Jesus Christ in John chapter 14. Lump it straight from the horse's mouth with the most respect in the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Next verse says he was born as a man into this world, came by the water and blood. And there's a certain thing about being a Christian. Remember, we spoke at the beginning about wanting to slap people and straighten them out. And the Bible plainly says our battle is a spiritual one. It is one that will be fought on hands and knees, and yes, sometimes with the words of our lips. But our battle will not be fought and won by subjugation, by the sword, or by the gun. It'll be won by souls saved. There is a spiritual aspect to our lives whenever we get. There's always a spiritual aspect to our lives, but there is a godly, capital S, spirit aspect to our lives once we are saved. We made mention of verses 7 and 8 earlier on. We're not going to go back on them. But if we move on to look at the rest of these verses, the Word of God says that we're supposed to listen to God. Well, listen to men. How many of us take the opinions of three or four people before we do anything? If I'm ever going to buy anything, I always check three or four places. I check eBay, I check Amazon. If there's a hardware store or an electrical store nearby, I'll check them, and then I'll just put a grand search into Google. And whoever paid Google the most, their name will come to the top. We're supposed to believe the witness of God. It's greater, because the witness of man tends to focus on them. And you would think the witness of God would be all about God, but God actually wants the best for us. And he goes on to say that in verses 11 and 12 and 13, and that he gave his son to us so that we could be saved and we could go to heaven. Goodness, time flies. It's in a nutshell why the Bible was written. I was reading in John 11. Remember when the Lord stood at Lazarus' tomb and everyone was weeping and wailing, and the Bible even records that the Lord was touched by this man that had put himself out many, many times to house him and to feed him and to learn from him, to sit at his feet and to be a good child of the King of Kings. And he lost his life, I don't know, was it sickness? I think it was sickness. And he was buried and he went and everyone was crying, and he says, he's been dead for 3 days, and the Lord said, we need to go to the tomb. And the important thing isn't the fact, and this for this particular message, is not the fact that he raised Lazarus from the dead. In fact, if you hung around with Jesus, that was pretty common occurrence, people getting raised from the dead. When the Lord called out and prayed to his Father, he said, in verse 42 of John 11, I know, Father, that you hear me always. But because of the people that are standing by, I said it, that they might believe that you sent me, that I came from God, that it wasn't an accident, it wasn't some other religion, it wasn't some other spirit or anything like that. It was me. And that's why the Bible was written. So that we can know it's for us and it's from God. You know, a lot of times whenever people come to church, they get a bit of a lashing and they get they get warned about bad behaviour and told to pull their socks up and tighten their belts and this, that and the other. But the Bible's for us. It just happens to be sometimes that we're so far out in the left field that we have to make a lot of adjustments to come back into fellowship with Jesus Christ again. And what parts of it are for us? Well, even all of it. It's full of just the right thing that we need to hear at the right time. It contains our need for salvation. It even contains the provision of it. It even tells us how to navigate life. How to please God. What we should tell other people. And how we should grow as Christians. Depending more upon God every day and less upon the opinions of the world, the flesh, and the devil. I don't know about you, but for me, many times I have prayed, and when I have been in a sticky wicket, we had about 20 something years ago, there was a bit of a split in the people associated with Bethel Baptist Church with the ministers. There were 3 or 4 ministers associated with Bethel Baptist Church. And there was a bit of a split because a few of them believed in, what would you call it? A few of them. Landmarkism. What did you say? The Baptist Bride, yes. Well, landmarkism basically says that unless you're a Baptist, baptized by someone that was baptized by John the Baptist in a Baptist church, that you're not part of the bride of Christ. And that's not biblical. We had to wave goodbye. We just let them go. That's not biblical. The Bible says, once you're saved, you're part of the bride of Christ. The Bible says we're all one body. And I have never heard of someone getting married and their arm or their leg not getting married. It tends to be they get married. You're either married or you're not. And it's the same with this. You're either saved or you're not. And we need to remember this. And we need to grow and learn. Anyway, whenever I was having this bit of a dilemma, I went and I went to my office, which was in the smallest room of the house, and prayed to God and said, God, I'm having a bit of difficulty here. Would you show me the verses that show me that these guys are wrong? And he showed me where it talks about being one body, one baptism, one salvation, and so on and so forth. And I thought, that works for me. Those things have happened many times. How many times have you been looking for words that you needed and you found them in the Bible when you opened the Bible, or even better, how many times have you been looking for the words that you needed and God just brought them back to your remembrance because they were filed away in the back of your head? How many times when things seem to be going badly against you, God puts things in proper perspective? Or God says, why are you out there in the world fighting those battles when really you should be here and let me put my arm around you and looking after you? The Word of God contains everything. Everything. And these are in no particular order. But the Word of God contains the greatest of purposes. I know a lot of people think, church is just for old fogies. I think older people, well, at least ones that have their heads screwed on, realize that God is actually more important than a lot of the foolish things in this world. But a lot of people, they aspire to greatness. They want to do something, to accomplish something. And you take me to someone that doesn't, that doesn't mean you need to living their life, to setting themselves up, to being a good husband, wife, being a good son or a daughter, aunt, uncle, niece, nephew, and so on and so forth. A good doctor, a good soldier, a scientist, an artist, a linguist, a preacher even, a pastor. Back in my day, it was programming was all that there was, and that was all that needed to be done in the world was programming. But there's folks that want to be a good manager, a great gamer, a president, or a prime minister, want to be remembered for helping prosper my country. I was just trying to think of one, and I can't actually think of any. I think President Trump did the best in the past 6 years. A great builder, electrician, joiner, plumber. These people want to do good jobs because they want to get a good reference for their next job. And it brings a certain pride in a person when you do a good job. There's a sense of satisfaction, a sense of a job well done. And this continues on until you retire. And then what? I have known of quite a few people that once they have retired, their reason for living has disappeared. I want to give you a few of the things that were on God's agenda when he walked in the world. Bear with me for another few minutes. I've only another page of stuff to go. These are all Bible verses. I've just been mentioning a noble purpose. Luke 19 says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's in the Bible. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John chapter 14, we mentioned earlier on. John said, verily I say unto you, these are the quoted words of Jesus Christ, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So, that's what God came to do. And whenever he went back up to heaven, he said, go ye therefore, that's us, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And just like God was empowered by his obedience to God the Father, God the Son was empowered by his obedience to God the Father. Jesus, if you remember the time whenever he was dealing with the woman at the well and the disciples were away to get food, they came back and said, right, if God eats, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That doesn't mean everybody needs to be behind the pulpit, although anybody that wants to take a go at it, they're very welcome. That means it is a satisfaction, a good reason to do it again. Contentment. In other words, you're doing something right. You're not thrilling yourself. You're completing or sufficing yourself. Strangely enough, this most abandoned of purposes is the most fulfilling and satisfying job that has ever existed in the face of this world, this earth. And the only qualification is that to be saved. And the great thing about it is, it doesn't stop when you leave home, and it doesn't stop when you leave school, or it doesn't stop when you leave your work, it doesn't stop when you stop being single. When you get married, it doesn't stop whenever you have children, or even retire, or even lie on your deathbed. It is your purpose as a Christian in this world until the day that you step off into eternity. Remember hearing the testimony of a little lady that was terminally ill. And the pastor said to her one day in his open visit, he says, how are you, sister? She said, I am great. And he was a bit taken aback by this, but basically she said, anybody that comes into my ward, I can talk to them non-stop about Jesus, and nobody says a word to me. They don't call me a holy Joe, and they don't roll their eyes. They just listen to me because they know I'm really, really sick. It's great. It's the purpose that never quits. It will never leave you. It will never let you down until you stand in the presence of God Almighty. And we need that. We need a purpose. The Bible also contains creation, which is a foundation stone of the scriptures, of our need for salvation. Because if God didn't create the world, sin didn't come into the earth, and death by sin, because it's just a thing that people do. And then there's no need to be saved, and Jesus isn't really the Savior. Creation's important. We need to understand it and read it and look around. At the risk of going all scientific, anybody here that has done, I think maybe even O-level geography or geology, will know that we sit on a little orange skin of rock covering a huge molten ball that's got an iron core in the middle that's spinning round at who knows how many miles per hour that produces the magnetic field that protects us from getting cooked alive by the sun's ultraviolet radiation and many other radiations. It just bounces them off or deflects them around. But that's slowing down. And if the Earth had been around for as long as people said it had, the EM field around the Earth would have been toxic to any organic material whatsoever going back even 40 million years when dinosaurs ruled the Earth. The Earth is not that old. As we read in the Bible, don't forget the Bible was put there for us to underpin our faith and to strengthen us and assure us. You'll come across prophecy. You can't read for very long before you come across something that God said was going to happen. A lot of times in the Old Testament it was about immediate things, about the outcome of a battle mostly about the outcome of a battle or prosperity in a country or the deliverance from great trouble. But shortly after those short-term prophecies came true, the prophet normally made long-term prophecies. And we see in Jeremiah, Zechariah, Isaiah, we see in the book of Genesis, we see in just about Malachi, even the very last book of the Old Testament, we see prophecies about the coming of Christ, even about the restoration of Israel when it was still a nation. And that just happened 70 years ago. We see prophecies of our technology. We see prophecies of the state of our society. I think we can all agree that society is not doing very well. We see prophecies about our religion, but I mentioned that already, and how slack so many preachers have become. We see prophecies about things that we can't control, like earthquakes, and how there are many more of them now than there used to be. About the wars and the rumours of wars. In fact, they're so desperate to have a war, they're intent on starting a nuclear war in Ukraine. And you can't say that it's not happening, because that's just about what everybody talks about. These things were in the Bible, and God said, write them in. And they were saying, but God, I don't know why I should write them in. And God is saying, you might not know, but there is a reason for me putting that in, so that people 2,000 years from now will read it and say, how could anyone but God describe video screens, computer animations? How could anyone but God describe every eye in the earth seeing the return of Jesus Christ at once, when that's just like physically impossible, but not digitally or electronically impossible? Just so much in the Bible. And that's to help you put your faith more in the Bible. We have the human condition mentioned from the very first pages until the very, very end. At the start, it's perfect for like three pages, for three chapters. And then we have rebellion mentioned. We have disobedience to God's word. And at the very last chapter, we have God telling us that people that are sinners and continue in their sin are not getting into heaven. From the start to the finish, that is the human condition. We're born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. The heart of man is deceitful, the Bible says in Jeremiah, and desperately wicked. And who can know it? That's our lot. Unless we get a hold of salvation. The most important thing. Whenever we look at our lives, whenever we look at the prophecy, whenever we consider the creation, whenever we bear in mind the teachings of the cross, the purpose that the Bible gives so many, and even the providential, we'll call it coincidental, provision of Bible verses just when we need it. We should consider getting saved and throwing our lot in with the God that wrote this book. Not only that, we should be telling others about it too. All these things, and there's a bunch more in there. We were put in a collection, 66 books, protected by, in my case, a bonded leather cover to a piece of cardboard. But more than that, protected, preserved with the promise of God. And he said, no matter what goes on in this world, heaven and earth will pass away, my word will what? Never pass away. It'll always be here for the soul that wants to read it. So no matter what the age of man, whether we're in the dark ages, whether we are in this, in quotes, enlightened age, whether we're going to be in the age of grace that is coming, the, I don't know what you call that, the thousand year peace that God is going to bring to this world, the word of God will always be there, and we will always, always need it. And no matter what the age of a man, whether you're young, whether you're in your prime, or whether you're just going over the top of the hill and down the other side, we need it. In the words of one of those old songs, tell me the old, old story, for I forget so soon. And it's all for us. It wasn't preserved to make God greater. It was preserved to make us better, to make us greater. As Samuel said in 2 Samuel 20, to set our feet on our high places like hinds' feet, and to be able to live there and work there. That's why the Bible was written. And for any soul, especially a Christian, not to make themselves familiar with it, you are literally cutting your nose off to spite your face. You are hamstringing yourself whenever it comes to getting through this life. It was written so that we would put all of our faith, maybe not all at once, but that we would put eventually all of our faith and our trust in the God of the Bible. And I don't just mean for eternity. I mean for right here and now. And that we would grow and get better. And maybe even look back and say, as I have noticed over the past few years, as my dad asked me to do things, which just seemed so unimportant, now I see why my dad asked me to do that. Now I see why God says in his Bible we should or shouldn't do that. And you know what? My life is better for it. Just the words that Jesus said in John, in the book of John, whenever he was praying for Lazarus. It's there because of the people which stand by. That's you and me. That's us. That they may believe that thou hast sent me. That's what it's for. That we would believe in Jesus Christ. Stop on that. It's for us. Amen. Amen. Those in heaven in the big hymn books is marked with a wee crease in the corner. Hymn number 232. Tell me the story of Jesus. We sing yours wrong.
Yep.
232, if you're fit, let's stand as we sing. Tell me the story of Jesus.
Tell me the story of Jesus.
morning. God bless you. Safe travels home. Look forward to seeing you at the next appointed time. God bless you. Well, would you dismiss the meeting for us, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, the servant, Lord, build up our hearts. May we be a blessing unto us in our lives, Lord, as we start a new week. Direct us and may we put you forefront in our lives, Lord. I'm talking to people about you, to people are lost. Lord, see us those mighty and powerfully. Go for the tracks of the words yesterday and the previous weeks and the previous months, Lord. The previous years, even in this city, surrounded by Lord. See us all see it. Personally, it's a great knowing him that they'll be established among this area and that the people's names may be written in that book of life that we know that our God is God alone, Lord. Bless us as we're in the sunny, Lord. Help us to depart to your home to safety and grace into our specified time. Also bless our food, our lunch, our dinner, and also our flesh for our families, friends, and acquaintances as well, Lord. See so safe and may we place a great money in prayer and ever for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, well, folks. God bless you. Marcus Smith, shake hands. Worship for a little.